It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Oh, hello everybody and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, talk about them on the radio. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I get what's going on out there. Physically, I'm just a guy. I'm excited to be back on air with Seth Bershing and DJ Winter. How are you guys? How have you been? What's been happening?
Well, a lot's been happening. I mean, we haven't had a show for, what, two and a half months now? Something like that?
It has been a long time. So what have you done in two and a half months, Seth? That's what I'm getting at.
Lots and lots of school, lots of studying. Took philosophy for J-term. And
Why?
Getting those gen ed credits, you know how it is. But
Was it rough? I'm going to say why, because I hated that.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It was not for me. But
there you go.
I survived.
It's good news. DJ, how are you? What have you been up to?
I'm good. I got the pleasure of calling high school basketball games with you during J-term.
Yes.
Got to go to the Fiesta Bowl. That was pretty fun. I got to do a lot of fun stuff over the break, and there was a lot of exciting sports news that happened. So I don't know how we're going to be able to jam pack it into one show, but you know, we'll give it our best shot.
Yeah, I don't really know how we're going to do this either. I was on the radio and other outlets. I feel like I did like 20 games over January. I was extraordinarily busy, and that might be why we haven't been on the air since early December, but we're back, and that's what truly matters, and we're excited to be back. We got plenty in store for you here on the show today. If you want to listen to old clips and maybe see some other projects that we've been working on here at Laser, and including myself and others, go over to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio. That's the best place to find the content we create right here on Laser. It's over there, once again, on YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and check out everything that's over there in store for you. If you want to call us and talk to us about anything we got coming up on the show today, let's see, we got some NBA coming back to Seattle, maybe? We got some of that, we got some Mariners, some POU Athletics sprinkled in there, and we'll probably tie a knot on the Seahawks and consider them done for a while. If you want to talk to us about any of those things or anything you want in general, call us 253-535-7332. Again, our number is 253-535-7332. Let's start this thing off with the Seahawks. Like I said, I haven't been on the air since December, and we were right in the heat of the Seahawks season, so let's wrap that thing up. We left everyone with a preview of the Seahawks-Jaguars game, and we can all remember how that one ended with the Seahawks losing. Michael Bennett starting a fight, Quentin Jefferson trying to go into the stands. I mean, just a really poor display of everything you'd hope your favorite team would showcase for the Seahawks, and we could leave it at that. They did not make the playoffs. The Seahawks, not first time in a while.
Six years.
No Seahawks in the NFL playoffs. That was disappointing. Excuse me. In the weeks that followed, Pete Carroll and John Schneider made significant changes to their coaching staff. The defensive coordinator, Chris Richard, is out. Offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, out. Offensive line coach, Tom Cable, out, amongst others. Replacing those people as the defensive coordinator, it's Ken Norton Jr. Offensive coordinator is now Brian Schottenheimer. And the offensive line coach is Mike Solari. What do you think of all of these changes? I mean, those were just the key ones. There were several others made as well. Mm-hmm. What do y'all make of the Seahawks coaching changes? What do you make of the, how the Seahawks season ended? Let's just talk about the Seahawks. I like it personally.
I mean, it's just a change of scenery. Bevel really, he needed to go, and a bunch of people were calling for his head after the Super Bowl loss when he didn't run the ball down there on the 1 yard line.
Even though that was Carroll's decision.
Yeah. Yeah, but ultimately it was Bevel's call, and defensively I like the hire of Ken Norton Jr. I just felt like the defense just was missing that it factor with Chris Richard. I don't know what it was, but The defense produced a little better under Ken Norton Jr. You could argue that for injury too, but overall, I like all the different hires that they made.
Seth, you got thoughts on these coaching changes from the Seattle Seahawks?
I like it too. I mean, they were all right in these categories, but they definitely dropped off from the previous couple seasons. I mean, offense finished 15th in yards, 11th in points, which is all right, but when you have Russell Wilson at QB, you should be in the top 10 for sure. They also gave up 85 sacks the last 2 years. So clearly something wasn't working with Tom Cable in the offensive line. And on the defensive side of the ball, there was regression there as well. They were 11th in yards. They were 13th in points allowed, which is the lowest that they've been, I believe, period, in the Pete Carroll era. So I'm perfectly all right with these coaching changes happening at this time.
They were all very, very interesting to me. With the number and volume of changes they made, it kind of left me scratching my head, like, why didn't they just let go of Pete Carroll and start everything else, start over?
It's a great question.
I mean, why not start everything over and blow it up from the top? By removing those people, it made it feel like that they were scapegoats for the players. Because, like I said, when we see this many coaching changes across any sport, it's because the head coach got fired and all of his assistants went with him. So now we're going to bring in a whole new group of assistants under the same head coach. It doesn't really make any sense.
Well, that's a good point. And I mean, Pete Carroll is the oldest head coach in the NFL right now, correct?
Yes, so, up there. Yeah.
He's got to be thinking retirement.
And there were rumors that, I mean, before the, I believe it was the Arizona game, that Pete was thinking about retiring. So, I mean, this kind of sends the message to us that, I don't know, maybe he's still in it for at least a few more years and wants to make one more run at that Super Bowl. I mean, that's one of the only takeaways that I could get from it.
Yeah, I just don't. I think that with an aging roster, and obviously you talked about it, DJ, how injured the team was all year long, all these coaching changes is simply kind of an out for those players. Mm-hmm. It looks good to the public to make all those changes, but what are they changing?
Yeah.
If the head guy's still there, nothing's going to be new.
Even though it is an aging roster, I feel like everybody's just, you know, like you said, first time in 6 years that they haven't made the playoffs. Even though it is an aging roster, everybody, I still see the Seahawks as competitive in the West. Obviously, you know, the Rams just got better today by the addition of Marcus Peters. But, you know, add a few pieces here, like maybe an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman through the draft. Maybe a signed free agent or two. I feel like the Hawks could, you know, maybe not make a run at the Super Bowl, but get in the playoffs again. And if they're lucky, if things fall their way, then they can make a – well, I mean, that's the case for anybody, but they can still make that run at the Super Bowl possibly.
Yeah, you just laid it out, you know, if they add different players, well, why didn't they start there? Keep the same coaches and add different players. This is just a loud noise-making move to fire all your assistant coaches and stay right where you are with the same group of guys. What do you expect is going to change? The players play, the coaches don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think you give it 1 year, and if they miss the playoffs again next year, then maybe it's time for Pete to step away. Give him a chance to start fresh with a new group of assistant coaches. If it works, fantastic. If it doesn't, then hit the reset button.
Mm-hmm. You're saying, so Pete Carroll has one more year, I guess, is what you're saying, and then if that doesn't pan out, that he should step down, and then
a new... He still has the elite talent, the high-end talent on the defensive side of the ball. They might not be as good as they were in 2013, 2014, and we've still got very talented players on offense. I mean, Russell Wilson, you've got great weapons for him still, so there's not going to be an excuse. We'll cut him some slack for one year, but there's not an excuse if it happens a second time.
One thing that's going to be interesting to watch here going forward is the contracts of Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, because realistically the Hawks aren't going to be able to afford both of those players. So there's been talk, you know, maybe they move both of them through trade. Sherman is representing himself, so there's a lot of talk that he'll just play out his last year, because really his trade value has gone down ever since his injury of his Achilles. But I don't know, that'll be something interesting to watch at that back end of that defense, because they got to get younger there for sure.
If we can acknowledge that Seahawks secondary and the Seahawks defense in general aren't what they used to be,
no they aren't,
then why wouldn't the Seahawks pull the trigger and make the changes they need to? Because then that would start to make sense. If they trade Richard Sherman for whatever draft pick they could get. Like you said, the trade value is down.
Mm-hmm.
So
he could even play out his last year and then have a great year, and we could use him for one more year. Even though they have regressed a little bit, I still see them as, you know, premier players in the National Football League.
In my opinion, if they go ahead and start moving some of the players that have been a part of this team for a while, like the Earl Thomas, like the Richard Sherman, the coaching changes make more sense. Right? Because you're in all likelihood going to move those players for draft picks, correct?
Most likely, yes.
So, if you're going to bring in new coaches, move those players, get new players. Now everything's new and you are starting over just maybe a year sooner than people think.
Yeah. I could see that. You got to have somebody mentor the young guys
Why?
Too. Just because jumping from college to the professional level, like we saw with the Aaron Rodgers, he sat behind Brett Favre for 4 or 5 years, and then he comes in and he's a premier quarterback. You got to have someone teach you the ins and outs of the game.
Isn't that what the coaches are there for?
Yeah, but it's different
when there's a
Why?
Player doing it.
Just because, you know, a player-to-player relationship is so much more different than a coach. Like, I just don't know how to describe it. But you've played sports before. You know, like, you have players that mentor you, and then there's, like, coaches. And I can't pinpoint, you know, what the difference is, but there is a difference there. It's like a brotherhood or something.
This is
know.
What I'm going to try and do. It's to push back against the cliche. Every year you hear about it, how a team's young, and that's why they don't do well. Well, a bunch of other teams are young, too.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, you can go on, pick your different cliche. So the only way people get better at doing anything, whether it be writing a sports story or talking on the radio or performing an action, is by doing it. So to think that players will get better because they sat behind Richard Sherman for a year, I don't know if I need to buy that or not.
I think the risk you take with just trading them both away and just relying on young players is that bad season. And that, in Seth's point that he just made, that bad season will push Pete Carroll out the door because these young players don't know, you know, you hit a wall at a certain point. Like, they talk about that rookie wall, and once they hit that wall, you're going to see, you know, drop off just because they can't handle the long season that is the NFL, where if you have a guy like Sherman in front of you, you get, you know, a limited amount of reps, and you're able to kind of keep that young guy fresh throughout the season.
And I think we're starting
Splitting
to see
reps.
The changing of the guards. I mean, we've got younger guys like Jaron Reed, Shaquille Griffin, who played huge roles this last year. They're both, what, first or second year players. So I guess to Christian's point, it does come from experience, but I don't think you want to do it all at once necessarily.
Why not?
Because that's not going to translate to wins.
Jumping off the deep end right there.
But are playing the old guys going to translate to wins too? They went 10-6. So what?
9-7.
9-7. They went 9-7. So you're gonna run the same,
but
9 year veterans out on the field and go, okay, figure it out.
A lot of the old guys got hurt, and we forced.
Right.
And
so they're gonna be way healthier this time around, right?
It forced young guys in there, and we all saw how that translated. We missed the playoffs.
But are those young guys better because they played instead of watched? Yes.
One season. next season will tell.
Okay. That's where we're getting. Seth, do you have any final thoughts on this before we hit the break and maybe jump off the Seahawks for a while, hopefully?
Well, just really quickly, it'll be interesting to see what they do this offseason because a number of their big-name players are free agents right now. I mean, Jimmy Graham, Luke Wilson, you got Sheldon Richardson, Luke Jokel, Paul Richardson, and Blair Walsh. Not that he's going to be back next year, but
I don't know
that they're going to be able to keep all of those guys.
Last thing, Sheldon Richardson has been a topic of conversation amongst people recently. What they should do with that defensive lineman. What would y'all do with Sheldon Richardson? Would you franchise tag him? Would you try and sign him to a long-term deal? What is the answer with Sheldon Richardson?
I think he's young enough yet that you try and sign him long-term.
I think with the amount of money he's going to want, I don't think he's worth it because I don't see him as a premier. He's upper, you know, upper tier defensive tackle. But if you're talking about cream of the crop defensive tackles, I don't feel like he's up there with Ndamukong Suh, Geno Atkins from Cincinnati, Gerald McCoy, Aaron Donald. Like, you just don't see that type of production from Richardson.
That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Like I said, all the new coaches and maybe some old players on the way out. Seems like a pretty solid time to start over if you're the Seattle Seahawks.
I do think that they need some more early round draft picks, because right now they only have a first, a fourth, three fifth round picks, and four seventh round picks. So that's a really backloaded draft. I know, you know, we've given credit to who's their GM?
Schneider.
Yeah. We have given credit to Schneider for, you know, finding those gems late in the draft, but you know, we haven't seen that come to fruition here in the past couple drafts.
Well, there you go. We'll see what they decide to do, and if they make some significant moves, we'll talk about it right here on Half Athlete Radio. For right now, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the PLU basketball season for both the men and the women. Kind of a down year, but we're going to highlight a couple of key players and why we're excited, or should be excited, about them moving forward. Don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is DJ Winter, and yes, I am a former athlete now. Former, you know, football player, tight end on the football team, number 87, number one in your heart. if you like what you're hearing, you can subscribe to our YouTube page, which is Half Athlete Radio, please call in. We would love to hear your thoughts. If you want to do that, the number is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. I'm joined in studio today by Christian and Seth. We're happy to be back bringing the best sports content to the community of PLU.
There you go. Wait, yeah, I like it. Not even shy about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's a challenge. We'll lay that down as a challenge to the What's the Big Deal crew. We're the best right now.
H&C Sports isn't even relevant anymore.
Ooh.
No, I can't say that. Those are my boys right there. Anyways, you know, like Christian was saying, and we've been away for a while, and while we've been away, basketball season has wrapped up, right?
Yeah, it's all over. I mean, like you said, it feels like we've been away for the entire PLU basketball season, so we figured we'd jump in and talk a little bit about the PLU basketball season. Let's start with the women. They went 5-20 on the year.
Hey, that's an improvement.
I think it is by a game. Maybe game, maybe two games. It is. They did look better, though, as a whole. You kind of say that jokingly.
And they were in a lot more games than they just have been in years past.
Absolutely. They picked up wins over Aurora, 43-39 on December 16th, and then the next day they beat Benedictine of Illinois, 59-42, so a couple of big wins back-to-back there. I think their biggest win of the season took place in front of the hometown fans in Olsen Gymnasium on January 20th when they beat Pacific 66-62 in overtime. A couple of players that y'all would like to highlight from that women's basketball team? Like I said, I feel like they looked a lot better than they have in years past, a lot more comfortable shooting the basketball, just a lot more comfortable playing basketball, which is kind of a tough way to say it, but they look more comfortable.
I'm gonna give a shout out to a fellow Puyallup Viking.
Oh, there you go.
She's a freshman here. She's a 6-foot forward, Madison Salisbury. Actually went to school with her brother, so giving her some publicity right now. She actually earned honorable mention All Northwest Conference, which came out a few days ago. But she averaged 13.1 points per game and 5.9 rebounds per game. Like I said, yes, she is a freshman, so I think Coach Jen Childress has a building block right here for the future, and if she can put some other players around her, I think we can see that win total go up even more from five games and maybe get to 500.
Madison Salisbury covers more ground without dribbling the basketball player than any other basketball player in the Northwest Conference. She uses her pivot extremely well. Like, it looks like she travels all the time, but
That's great insight.
I'm telling you, she does well without dribbling the basketball, and she scores a lot of points near the basket. So, yeah, good player there to highlight, DJ.
Yeah.
My apologies if I butcher this name, but Kristen Sturtevant.
There you go.
Hey, you got it right.
At 8.2 points per game this year, I believe was second on the team. Also, 4.1 rebounds a game and averaged more than one steal per game as well. So good in the defensive side of the ball as well.
Mm-hmm. She played a lot of this season with, because I have a class there, and she has a broken foot.
Yeah, she had a bum foot for a long time.
She played pretty much the whole season, she said, on that bummed foot. And she was actually in a boot. It's PE volleyball. Shout out to that class and Lynn Tucker. But anyways, she had a boot on it last class period on Wednesday. And, I mean, just she, like you said, she averaged 8.2 points on a bum foot. Just imagine what she could do with two good feet.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, if you're playing hurt all year long, it's not comfortable.
And especially feet in basketball. Like, that's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah, you're changing direction. You're cutting. You're going back and forth. Like, a bum foot's not an easy thing to deal with in any sport, but especially basketball.
No, so, like I said, it may not show up in the win total, but the POU women, I feel, were much improved throughout mm-hmm. the season, and good things to come for them in the future, for sure.
Very much so.
Let's switch forward to another program that, unfortunately for us, is looking towards the future. The POU men went 4-20 under first-year head coach Chad Murray. Murray welcomed 10 newcomers to the program last season. And their youth showed.
Wait, they were newcomers?
Yeah.
So they kind of just blew everything up and didn't have that great of a season.
Well, here you go. We want to talk about it this way. I guarantee you they're going to be better next year than if they were to watch all year long. I can promise that. They're not going to go 4-20 again. Now you throw me off. Now I'm pissed off.
I'm sorry.
About it. Their biggest win of the year came on January 6th. When they beat George Fox at George Fox, down by 2 with 5 seconds left, and Zach Webb hit 2 huge free throws.
My boy Zach
would go on to be the game winner for POU. Again, the final score of that one, 91-90 at George Fox. Y'all want to highlight a few key players from the men's side this time?
Well, since you brought up Zach Webb, that was the player that I chose to highlight. He was at 8.3 points per game, but his shooting, 51% from the field and 77% from the line, so very good shooting numbers. Also, 4.5 rebounds a game, so very active on the glass as well.
Seth actually took mine, but so I'll go Dylan Foreman. I mean, the easy one would be Leighton Kingma. Yes, he averaged 13.8 points per game and I think 5.9 rebounds per game. But you know, my boy Dylan, he put in a good 4 years here. I think this year he averaged 8.6 points per game and like 5.2 rebounds per game. You know, I think he could be happy with where he started and where he finished. It kind of sucks the way he went out going 4-20, but I always see him in the weight room. He's always working, and I'm really, really proud of him for the work he put in. And I think overall he had a pretty good career here.
Yeah, y'all mentioned Leighton Kingma, the transfer from Whitman.
Who's, I think, number one in the nation.
They have been number one in the nation all year long, have the Whitman Blues. Leighton Kingma, an amazing three-point shooter.
Yep, as all Kingmas are.
If Leighton were able to just spot up and knock down shots in the corner or on the wing, he would have had a much more productive, even though he did have a productive year, he would have had a much better year, I feel, because of the newness of the program. Lack of talent. There, I'm going to be blunt with it. Because of lack of talent, Leighton was forced to put the ball on the deck, dribble, try and get to the bucket.
It's not his style.
I don't think it is at all.
Nope.
And it kind of is what it is right now. Someone who helped out with that a little bit is the 5'9 freshman point guard, Kelton Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all got a chance to see Kelton play. I love Kelton. I think he's a great basketball player. He's super fun to watch, super undersized, as was the entire POU men's basketball team.
Yeah.
Explosive. I mean, probably you could argue that he's one of the best athletes on this campus mm-hmm. across all sports. Mm-hmm. The kid is so fast, so quick, and was really fun to watch throughout the entire season. Should be better next year under head coach Chad Murray once he gets his feet wet.
I agree.
Year.
And I felt like in the hire, I mean, last year on this show, we were highly critical of the hire, but I think, you know, he came in kind of late and kind of started behind the eight ball. So there's only so much you can do, and you know, 4-20, you start low and you can only go up from here.
Well, and it's just, you mentioned they had a bunch of new players, but they had a head coach from, I think he was, last stop was in Iowa. He was in the Midwest,
yeah.
And coming out here and trying
new to the area,
trying to be new to the area and get players from the area to go to the school when he doesn't even know what to highlight about being in this area and playing basketball. I mean,
yeah,
it was tough. It was tough, but they got to play. They were on the floor and they learned a ton. So should be a better year, more comfortable year next year for the PLU men's basketball team. Let's hit another break. When we come back, it'll be time to talk about the Seattle Mariners. Yes, they're playing their first spring training game right now as we speak. And we're going to discuss...
We'll give you a score update.
We'll go score update. DJ wants to give a score update. We'll talk about the new additions to the team, talk about what we expect to see out of the Mariners all year long. And it should be a fun time. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Seth Bershing. I'm joined in studio today by Christian Bond, PLU's half athlete. He doesn't play sports anymore, but he loves to talk on the radio about them, write about them, do all sorts of stuff with sports. Also in studio, we have DJ Winter, who is a former athlete, a tight end from the PLU football team. If you like what you're listening to and want to hear it again, go on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. Or you can go to our YouTube page, which is Half Athlete Radio, and find all of our clips there as well. If you want to call into the show, go ahead. It's going to be 253-535-7332. Again, that number is 253-535-7332. All right, guys, let's talk some Seattle Mariners. They started spring training today.
DJ, you got that score update?
I do, and in the top of the...
He's not reading. He's trying to remember it. He can't.
Okay, top of the second, it's 3-1.
There you
Mariners.
Go. There you go.
All right.
It means a lot.
Yes.
This first spring training game is so important.
It's so important to get out of the gates winning.
Especially in spring training.
Yes.
Let's just kind of do an overview. The Mariners added 3 or 4 new players, and D. Gordon, obviously the most significant, the second baseman from the Marlins, now the center fielder for the Mariners. Ryan Healy from the Athletics, who is already on the DL with a bone spur in his hand.
Technically not on the DL, but
He's not playing.
He's out for a month.
4 to 6 weeks, yep.
Juan Nicasio, a free agent signing for the
bullpen. I like
that one. Nick Rumbelow, a guy from the Yankees, and several other less significant moves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk about it. What do you guys think? What do you guys feel? What's the mood on the Seattle Mariners as they start spring training today?
I'm pretty disappointed, honestly, with what they did this offseason. I mean, everybody knew what did the Mariners need. Their offense was all right, but they need more starting pitching. And they didn't get a single starting pitcher this offseason. They're just going to trot out the exact same starting five that they had last year. And we know how many days that those guys missed last year. And even when they were healthy, they were average at best. I mean, but their pitchers last year missed a total of 1,114 days. I don't see how you can expect the same group of pitchers to be healthier and better. What did they show you that makes you think it's going to be any different?
DJ, you got thoughts on that? I mean, I have thoughts on it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great point. I would have liked to see him go out and get more starting pitching as well. However, I think, you know, this offensive lineup that they're running out day in and day out, I think could be one of the best in the American League. You know, we lost Dyson, but we gained Gordon. Sorry. So we're still going to be quick. We're still going to be fast, especially in the outfield. And I think, you know, D. Gordon has the most important quality that you need to play outfield, and that's that speed. And especially at Safeco Field, you know, it's a bigger ballpark with bigger dimensions. And so I think he'll be able to make that transition. I don't want to say easily, but he'll be just fine out there. And as for pitching, I was talking to Christian today over text, and I said they're kind of a what-if team.
Yeah.
And on paper, you know, you got Felix Paxton, Leak, Erasmo Ramirez, and Marco Gonzalez. I really liked what Ariel Miranda did. There was a stretch there last year where he was the best starter for the Mariners because everybody was injured or they weren't, you know, performing up to par. So I think this pitching staff has the potential to be okay. And I think okay as a pitching staff will be good enough to get by with the offense that the Mariners have right now. And if you could steal a couple wins down there at the bottom of that pitching rotation, I feel like we can compete for a wild card spot with there'll probably be a team, you know, another team from the West that competes. The Astros are going to probably win the division, but you know, you got to be better than that team from the East because the Red Sox and the Yankees are loaded as well.
What is your mood on the Mariners? Call us 253-535-7332. Again, our phone number is 253-535-7332. Give us your mood on the Seattle Mariners. DJ, you mentioned the Houston Astros. Over the offseason, they added Gerrit Cole to their pitching staff. And Seth, part of your disappointment stems from, I think, the honesty within the organization, maybe not outward to the public, but, I mean, the Mariners could have added Jake Arrieta, and they're not better than the Astros.
And they still could. And they still could sign either Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb. I think they're just the price tag right now is a little more than what the Mariners want to pay for a lower, I don't know, fourth or fifth starter.
Sign Jake Arrieta, sign Alex Cobb, sign Lance Lynn, and they're still not better than the Astros.
Yes.
So that's the dilemma that we're at. What is kind of fun, I guess, is that you can kind of see that, DJ, you mentioned the offense, the addition of D. Gordon, the addition of Ryan Healy. They're going to be really good offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good offensively.
And we saw Mike Zunino kind of with a resurgence. Well, I don't want to say resurgence, but emergence of his offense in the second half of the season.
What's going to happen is people will go to Safeco Field.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be decent.
Yeah.
They're going to be fighting for that last wild card spot.
Yeah.
Just like you said, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians, the Astros,
and honestly,
and somebody else.
Yeah. At this point, you know, as a Mariners fan, I just want to see them, even if they just get in the wild card game and play and lose, I am happy with that because we have the longest playoff drought. As Mariners fans, we have the longest playoff drought in Major League sports, I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just getting in the playoffs would satisfy because it's really hard. You know, you got to be consistent throughout the season. The Mariners always have that one stretch where they just, you know, kind of dip below 500 and then they're not able to recover from that.
And they're kind of in an awkward spot where their roster's all right. They're a borderline playoff team, maybe, if things fall their way. But they're probably not contending for a World Series. But on the same token, you can't exactly blow it up at this point. You're committed to Nelson Cruz and Robinson Cano, Felix, big contracts like that. And the farm system's very thin. So it's kind of like they have to make it work now.
The farm system is legitimately the worst in baseball.
Yeah.
Reason being, the farm system can't get better until the big league club is better, right? No one cares if the Rainiers win a PCL title. No one. So you got to fix the big league club first. I think they're finally in a position where they can become stable at the major league level and start to facilitate creating talented players for the future. But like I said, you gotta establish a big league roster first.
I think, you know,
and they're there.
Yeah, Cruz's contract, that's a tongue twister, is up at the end of this year. You can sign a guy on a short-term deal as a DH. Outfield, you know, in the outfield, they're fine right now. They're young. Mm-hmm. You got Gamble, you got Gordon, and you got Haneker. And you can sign a DH after this season. I think Cano still has a couple good years out of him. And so I think, like Christian said, they're at a good spot at the major league level.
The problem with Nelson Cruz is if we get to the trade deadline and Mariners aren't doing what they're supposed to.
Yep.
They're selling. There's not much to sell. Nelson Cruz, teams who are going to want the half of a year of Nelson Cruz, it's going to be an American League team because he's a designated hitter. He's not an outfielder, right? And the teams that we just mentioned between the Astros, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Indians, they all have what Nelson Cruz is, correct? They all have that right-handed power bat. The Yankees have two of the best in baseball.
Yeah.
The Red Sox just signed J.D. Martinez.
Mm-hmm. Who will primarily DH for
them? The Indians have Edwin Encarnacion.
Who's the Astros DH?
Evan Gattis.
Okay.
I mean, they all have a right-handed bopper, right?
Yeah.
So there goes your playoff teams who don't need Nelson Cruz. There's half of the league that is going to be bad and trying to get better draft picks. And the fringe teams, right? There's no market to trade Nelson Cruz. The Mariners are the team who would need Nelson Cruz if they don't have Nelson Cruz already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Okay, what about if Felix is having a decent year to where he's becoming more of, you know, developing more as just a pitcher, and, you know, like you said, Mariners aren't doing it very well at the trade deadline. Could you see the Mariners moving him? Not to the Astros. You know, we talked about that already. Astros are fine. Maybe, like, the Red Sox or the Yankees, possibly, because the Yankees are still could use a fourth or fifth starter, and Felix would be probably the best fourth or fifth starter in the MLB if that trade was to happen.
He would be, but no one's going to eat that money.
Also, he has a no-trade
clause.
Not
even the Yankees?
No.
They
don't need him.
They can't even trade him. Felix would have to waive his no-trade clause.
He would approve the trade, right? But
that's true.
No, no one would eat the money. This is the same thing with Robinson Cano. No one's going to eat Cano's contract. And even Kyle Seager, who needs to play a ton better this year if the team's going to be in contention,
mm-hmm.
no one's going to eat Kyle Seager's contract.
Yeah.
There's still 4 years and half of $100 million. It was a seven-year, $100 million contract when he signed it.
So
we're about the halfway point. So people would have to eat that contract for Kyle Seager.
I think Seager rebounds this year, though.
He's going to have to.
Yeah. For in order for the Mariners to be better, Seager is going to have to be better because he had a down year last year. He batted only 246.
About 250, yeah. Good enough. That's not good enough for your all-star gold glove third baseman.
Yeah.
Made and about 25 errors all year long. I mean, not great.
He regressed definitely from his gold glove form a couple years ago. So, you know, and I trust him. He's a grinder. He'll get back in it, I believe, this year. So, I'm excited. You know, I'm always filled with optimism during the beginning of baseball season.
Try and put your mood on the Mariners in one word, because I feel like we're a little my word would be anxious. I want it to get going. I want to see what they are. Anxious is the word that I would use. You have a word that you can use for your mood on the Mariners?
Two words, I guess.
Oh.
Cautiously optimistic. Every year, well, you know the expression, hope springs eternal. I want to root for the Mariners, and I want them to win. But you just know, with the roster that they have, it's probably not going to happen.
There you go. Cautiously optimistic for Seth. DJ, you have a word for your mood on the Mariners?
Kind of like along the same lines as you, eager.
There you go.
I'm eager for the season to start, eager for... you know, to see what they have at their disposal, and, you know, like I said, the what if team. So we'll see.
We will see indeed. Something we will see in the future. Yesterday it was announced that the NBA is going to bring basketball back to Seattle. Find out what we mean when we come back. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I go by POU's Half Athlete. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I get it. I get what's going on the floor, on the court, on the diamond. I understand. Physically, though, I am just a guy, and that is unfortunate. But make up for it. We talk about it on the radio. We write about it. Sports are cool. Joining me in studio, former athlete himself. His name's DJ Winter. Also joined by Seth Bershing. Seth the intern, as we like to call him. You like that one, Seth? You don't like that one? We're trying to find a nickname for Seth.
Thought we were done with the intern thing.
Seth the intern. I love
semester.
Seth the intern. Oh, you graduated. Your internship's over, and now you're full time, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We can go with that. We're moving on from Seth the intern.
I'm on salary now.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. If you want to hear the short clips from the show or anything we talked about today, you can do it at YouTube. Go on over there. Type in Half Athlete Radio. Check out all the content we've created on Half Athlete Radio. Check out the Bucket Talk Baseball Podcast. If you want to call us and talk to us about anything, you can do it 253-535-7332. Again, our number is 253-535-7332. The NBA is coming back to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Silver's made the decision to send the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings in early October to play a preseason game. I believe it's in Key Arena, correct?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this little bone we're getting thrown by the NBA? Here, have a preseason game.
I mean, it's kind of a cool thing. Kind of get the interest going again in Seattle. There's definitely a big enough market in Seattle to have an NBA team, and I know there's a couple groups who are trying to purchase an NBA franchise so that they can move it back to Seattle. But mm-hmm. this is just the first of many baby steps in that direction towards getting an NBA franchise back in Seattle.
So you are cool with it, Seth. You're happy with this little decision to throw a preseason game up this way. DJ, what do you think about it?
By the way, the Mariners are up 3-1, bottom four.
There you go.
So I heard this for the first time yesterday, and I'm excited for it because how often do we get to see athletes like this? Granted, it is only a preseason game, but how often do we get to see athletes like this, play basketball? And I say, people should come out, wear their Sonics gear, I don't know, start chants with the Sonics or bring the Sonics back or something like that. It's a great, great way to, use your voice at an NBA game. And like I said, it's going to be fun regardless if it's a preseason game or a regular season game to go out and watch these guys play and ball.
It is interesting. I like that you mentioned the caliber of athlete. The Golden State Warriors will be in town.
Yes.
So Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Even if they only play the first quarter, that's still going to be cool to watch.
Right, and a majority of me is going to side with the both of you and say, yeah, that's cool that they get the preseason game, show the interest, wear the green and gold, go out to Key Arena, watch the game. Cool. But there's another part of me that gets kind of like upset almost. It's like the NBA acknowledging that they have done wrong, but would like
trying to cover up their
to
tracks.
Give a little bit back. Like if your parent took something away from you when you were a kid and knew that they probably maybe shouldn't.
Yeah.
And they gave you back a little bit of it, but we're still trying to justify them taking it away in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy. Not a great one, but the best one I can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand when I hear people who are bitter at even this. To mm-hmm. bring back, the Kings, who were almost going to be the new Seattle team in, I believe it was 2013. Chris Hansen bought the team,
yeah.
and then
mm-hmm.
some tomfoolery got that undone. But yeah, I don't know. There's part of me that is a little bit almost not happy with that decision. Just kind of like they're throwing Seattle a bone, but it's a preseason game in October.
Yeah.
It's just one night.
If the Mariners are in the World Series, then I won't go. I'll be at the Mariners game.
There you go. But no, yeah, that's right. I mean, can you see how people are upset at it at the same time as they're
yeah,
happy
I mean,
about it?
I could see why people would be upset, especially the older generation that grew up with the Sonics and saw them get taken away and how that whole process went down. But hey, it's just more open tickets for people that want to go, and it's you get to watch basketball and professional basketball at that. So.
Yeah. Seth, you feeling it? The thing is, when was it, 2008 when the Sonics left?
Yes, it was.
I can hardly remember watching them play basketball.
Yeah, see, and I never got to go to an NBA game. So
I didn't
really get to experience or set the, relationship with the Sonics. I didn't get to establish that before they got taken away. So,
yeah,
that is what it is for me. Because they were bad, 08 through 05.
But they did have the young talent there, though.
They had Kevin Durant and
Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Did they have James Harden at that
Not
point?
Yet.
No.
He came a little bit later. But,
Westbrook
you're right.
was even the last pick of the Sonics before they moved to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing how the whole thing transpired, really, but...
Yeah, it was. Because, I mean, we grew up not knowing what it's like to have a basketball team here in Seattle. And, you know, that's something that was taken away from us. So it is kind of frustrating at the same time, but hey, I'm excited, and if I get a chance to go, I'll definitely be there on October or in October.
I don't know, something like that.
I think it is the 6th.
Early October.
I wasn't 100%
sure. So DJ's
sure.
in. DJ's going to go. Seth, you going to go? I'm not going to go.
I probably wouldn't go because I don't really care about the Golden State Warriors or the Sacramento Kings backups playing each other.
Or the preseason.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the NBA preseason was a thing to like a couple
years ago. How many games
is it?
Is it like 3 games?
I think it's like 8 games or something.
8? They play 8?
I think
so. Man. Interesting. Anyway, NBA coming back to Seattle. Golden State Warriors and Sacramento Kings in October. Preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. All right, for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, my name is Christian Bond. We are out of here. See ya.